And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. We're recording on a Monday night. Why are we doing that?
Yes, oh man. Let's just say this is breaking news. Catastrophes hit the Salt Lake Valley.
It's an emergency pod on a Monday night.
Oh man, how are you feeling?
Oh man, I honestly, we're going to talk a lot about the lottery results.
Yeah, we will.
I'm a little sad.
It's a little sad.
But I think after today, I'll probably come to terms with the results.
Yeah.
But man, that's tough.
Yeah. You know how we are though. We've been helping you find the silver lining all year. And that's what we're going to keep doing.
Yeah, we're going to try and keep it positive, keep even though that's going to be hard to with what we got here.
Absolutely. We have an exciting but probably shorter episode today. Obviously, we're going to talk about the NBA lottery draft lottery, the results. We'll talk about playoff series, how they're turning out. And then, of course, we finally have a name for the Utah Hockey Club, so we'll talk about that in this episode.
Yeah, make sure to follow us on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you can find us. Leave us 5 stars, a good review, share with your friends, especially as we're leading up towards the draft. We're going to let you know about all the prospects the Jazz might get and what you can expect from the draft.
And this is episode 72 of Tuned In Jazz. Oh man. Okay. Well, for those of you who haven't been paying attention, Jazz had the number one odds. Well, tied for the number one odds for the number one pick. Interestingly enough, all three of those teams fell, and the Dallas Mavericks of all teams, 1.8% chance got the number one pick.
Well, and did you also hear the Dallas Mavericks? They won a coin flip with the Bulls.
It's insane.
And so, literally, they had a coin flip to get their odds, and then they get the number one pick. And if the coin went the other way, it probably would have been the Bulls that got that pick, right?
It's insane. So, and low-key, obviously, we'll talk about the Jazz situation, but like, low-key, if everybody's healthy next year, Kyrie, Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis.
Dude.
And they still got Klay Thompson. Like, that's
a good team right there. Yeah. And they've got some role players that can actually play. Yeah.
Yeah. So low key.
Honestly, it just feels unjust for me. Because of course Dallas, they've had Luka, they've drafted him, they've got AD, they've gotten Dirk, they've gotten all these great players.
Yeah.
San Antonio gets the second pick. Like, insane. Come on, man. They already got Wemby. They don't need the second pick.
It's insane.
And so they'll probably get Dylan Harper, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then the Sixers get the third pick. They were the team that, man, I was hoping they wouldn't jump in the lottery at all.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, same thing. The Sixers have already had a lot of great draft picks in the past, and man, here they are at three again.
Yeah. The NBA lottery rig conspiracy theories are getting kind of...
Yeah.
Honestly, it was kind of crazy that all those big markets, I guess, except for Charlotte, maybe. I don't know if Charlotte's a big market, but it's really unfortunate. I wasn't a fan of how they did it. I don't know why they make the lottery so complicated. Like, I don't know. Did you watch it or did you see it?
I actually didn't watch it live, no.
It was like weird. It was like something where they like flipped. They went from 14 up. And at the 10th pick, they're like, it wasn't Dallas. So they're like, that means Dallas has the top 4 pick. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
I guess that's a pretty big jump for them.
What in the world? You don't have the 10th pick, so you have top 4. Anyways, I'm assuming it's just the way they presented it. This probably makes more sense. But I was like, this is not helping the allegations here. But
yeah, next year, I've been hearing people say, we need to see the ping pong balls.
I think so. I think so.
Like, it's very secretive. Maybe we can see it next year.
It's better for entertainment, too. Like, wouldn't you want to see people's live reactions? I don't know.
Yeah, like, let's just make it completely transparent, you know?
It's fun. Yeah.
And I understand. I trust the NBA. I don't actually think it was rigged.
Yeah, I don't really either. But
I think it would be a lot better for fans. Like Utah Jazz fans, I know I'm going to talk to some buddies and they're going to say it's rigged.
Yeah.
If you're going to talk to a Washington Wizards fan, they're probably going to say it's rigged.
Yeah, no
joke. So maybe
joke.
Just to help the fans out, it might be good to show us the ping pong balls next year.
Yeah.
So we don't feel as bad.
Yeah, I agree. So we ended up at 5. I feel I feel like this happened in our simulations a couple of times a couple weeks ago. And I don't know, but who are we feeling Now that we're actually here, who's your initial like thought? Who's the guy?
Right. So we're not gonna get the Rutgers guys or Cooper Flagg. No. They're probably gonna go 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
So I mean, that leaves possibly VJ Edgecombe if Charlotte doesn't take him.
Trey Johnson's up there.
Trey Johnson from Texas.
Yakachonis.
Yakachonis.
Is that how you say it? Yeah, I think so. I wasn't gonna try to say that. Knipple.
He's Knipple is a good shout.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd say one of those. What was that?
Four or five guys. Yeah. I feel like it does make the draft a little more interesting because, like, if we were sitting here with the number one pick, there'd be nothing to talk about. Do we even bother bringing in any of their workouts, or are we just like Cooper Flagg, you know?
Yeah.
But now we get probably work out a dozen guys and just try them all out and see what happens. So.
Yeah, and I know there's some guys late in the draft process that those workouts really do well for them.
Yeah.
I know one of the reasons we drafted Cody Williams is because he had a pretty good workout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the workouts are not everything, but I think it'll be nice to see. Maybe we'll get some rumors here and there from the Jazz about guys that come in and which guys might impress them a little bit more.
Yeah.
I guess for all those Jazz fans that are a little sad, including myself, probably you, that we dropped to number 5, let me just tell you, there's some great players still at number 5.
Absolutely.
Even though we don't get Cooper Flagg, we're still going to get like a solid piece that we can pair with Walker Kessler. We can pair with Lauri Markkanen. Yep. We still have some guys that are valuable assets to trade, like John Collins, Jordan Clarkson. So even Colin Sexton could be a potential trade piece now that we've seen Coldier kind of rise up. So I just to put the silver lining, right, we're trying to be a positive episode. That's even right. Though we wish we had number one, I think whatever guy we get at number 5 will definitely help us to be playoff contender. That being said, that might end up being another tank next year. It's gonna be interesting to see where the team goes with that. Very possible we tank next year, but I think without a doubt the guy we get here could help us be a competent team.
Absolutely.
Just kind of depends on what we want to do next year.
Kind of an interesting thing I was thinking about since then, obviously a couple hours. It just reminds me of the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, they were worst team last year, right?
I think you could make an argument the worst team in NBA history, last year's Pistons. I mean, they were kind of on the brink of becoming that.
Yeah.
14 wins last year. Interestingly enough, they had the top odds for the number one pick, fell to the 5th pick.
Just like the Jazz.
And this year, 44 wins, and they made the playoffs. And they, I think they played the Knicks really well.
And now look at the Knicks, right?
Right.
So who knows? Maybe the Pistons could have handled the Celtics pretty well.
So I'm not saying it's going to happen to the Jazz, but the Jazz have a lot of talent. They got their Cade Cunningham, we got Lauri Markkanen, we got a lot of really young guys. You never know. A lot can happen in off season. We'll just gotta go find our Malik Beasleys and our Tobias Harrises and our the guys like that, and we could be good. Who knows?
And this is the third year of the tank that we've had, right?
Yeah.
As if you were a general manager, you know the fans are laboring through this. This is the longest tank the Jazz have ever had by far. Would you just try and win next year, even though you want to get the number one pick next year?
Well, I just keep seeing like all these things about how like the worst record hasn't gotten the number one pick since they changed the rule in 2019.
Right.
It's like it would make me wonder, like, is it worth it to keep trying this? Yeah. Or do we just go for it?
Maybe we pull a Mavericks next year and just try and win, and if we don't make the playoffs, we might get the number one pick even if we're way in the back.
Absolutely. And I think we talked about last week, I don't think the Jazz are as bad of a team as our record shows. I think we have a lot of talent. We could beat some teams if we weren't resting guys like we did this year.
We didn't have tankinitis.
So, I don't know. I say we just go for it next year. Let's just make some moves. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm with you because I feel like these flattened odds, we've learned, I think, as a Jazz fan right now, I think we've learned our lesson from this year.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You don't need to be a number. You don't need to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
You just need to put your foot in there and hope for the best.
We'll take 1% odds next year.
I would love 1% odds.
That's right.
But anyways, should we move on to some playoffs?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about something happier.
Something happier. These playoffs have been
They're good.
Amazing. almost every single second round series, I feel like the team, both teams have a legit chance at winning the championship. I don't know if there has been a year like this where like we've got eight teams. Any one of those eight teams, I could say could win the championship and I wouldn't be surprised.
Absolutely. It's insane.
Yeah.
I didn't think that we've talked about the Thunder a lot. I thought they were going to sweep Denver. I thought the series would be over by now, low-key.
Yeah.
But we're looking at 2-2 right now. Jokic is just, he's actually not having that great of a series, like numbers-wise. He's had some good games, but there's been a couple games where he's just not shot great. But there they are, tied 2-2, three games left. That's insane.
You know who I've been surprised by is Russell Westbrook.
Dude,
I know there's times in the game where he's a liability, times in the game where he's clutch. But I think overall, Russell Westbrook's been really good for them, which I've been surprised.
Somewhere Mike Malone is just like pumping his fist in the air. He's like, I told you guys.
Yeah. I don't know. When Westbrook went to the Nuggets last offseason, I was one of the people to say that he would kind of mess up the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But I stand corrected. He's actually been pretty good.
There was a game, I think it was game three, where it was like end of the game and they like put the camera to the bench and Russell Westbrook was the one sitting in the chair in front of all five guys like coaching him. And I was like, dude, that is so valuable, especially for a coach who took over like 2 months ago. That's crazy.
He has no idea what he's doing, hasn't coached a game, let alone a playoff game.
It's so awesome.
I'm also interested. I think one of the things I've seen with the Nuggets is they've got the Jokic-Murray two-man game that is borderline unstoppable, even though Jokic hasn't been as good in this series as he's normally been. Down the stretch of a game, the last 5 minutes, Nuggets go to that. They usually find success.
Yeah.
With the Thunder, it's really just ISO.
Yeah.
Right? It's like give Shea the ball and let him work.
Yeah.
Or give J-Dub the ball, let him work. And I feel like during the regular season, they didn't really find themselves in many close fourth quarters. And so the fact that there's been some close games in this series, I think has kind of given the Nuggets a big advantage.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see, like, do the Thunder have what it takes in the clutch, or if they just kind of forgot what it's like to be in these close games and maybe the Nuggets have something better in clutch time.
I totally agree. I've also seen the Thunder play a lot of two big man lineups. Like, they'll put Hartenstein and Chet on the floor to play against Jokic, and they do well defensively, as well as you can do against Jokic. But, like, yeah, you're right. When it gets to the other side of the court, it kind of, like, grinds to a standstill. Like, it's like both those guys can shoot, but they're not that great of shooters.
The Nuggets are not fearing them.
No. So then you just got Shea that's just, like, you know, doing his foul baiting stuff and you know, he's a good player, but yeah, it's tough. I mean, you kind of make a trade when you try to stop Jokic, I guess.
Yeah, Shea didn't even really have a great game in the game they won.
Yeah.
I mean, game four, he was like 8 for 19.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're the Nuggets, you're throwing everybody you have at Shea and just like saying, Lou Dort, go ahead and beat us.
Yeah.
Chet Holmgren from three, go ahead and beat us. And honestly, it's kind of working.
A little bit, yeah.
So, but I'm shocked because I thought the Thunder would roll.
I thought they would too.
The Nuggets, so.
I don't know if the Nuggets can, even if they win another 7-game series, I don't know how long that could keep going.
Right.
Especially with just Jokic taking so much, playing so many minutes, and yeah, gotta be hard.
Okay, maybe the other West series. You got the Warriors and Timberwolves, who are actually playing right now. They're 23-24. Warriors are up by one.
Still no Steph. I mean, not this game.
That's a huge blow.
Huge blow.
By the way.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's looked like the Timberwolves have not been as good as they were in the Lakers series. Yeah. They've missed a ton of three-pointers.
Yeah.
It's kind of continuing on. And then the Warriors, man, without Steph, their offense is really struggling.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield's kind of had to be the offense when he's normally not been asked to do that.
Yeah, when I was watching game one, I kind of thought Minnesota might be... Steve Kerr is such a good coach. You could say a lot about him, but he was playing the small lineups that was making Rudy like really struggle.
Yeah.
The ones we've seen before, and he was doing that for most of the game. And it's like, oh man, they might just exploit this whole series and play chess here and just win it. But I low-key think the Warriors were looking like they could compete with anybody in this playoffs the way they were looking. But even if Steph comes back, you can't win another 7-game series probably. So
yeah, I think it's kind of sad to see Steph gone, because I think if he were in this series, it'd be a lot more exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, the Warriors are still doing their best. They might win this game. They're up by 3 right now. Yeah. So we'll have to see if they can kind of extend the series. But right now, kind of looks like the Timberwolves got it. But honestly, on the East side, how about them Pacers, dude? The Yesers?
Holy crap.
Holy cow. Like, I thought the Pacers could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I thought they had no shot.
This is insane. Yeah.
Wow. Like, I don't know what it is with the Pacers, but they're just rolling through the Cavs. They make the Cavs look like they're not even close to the regular season team that they were.
Dude, these Pacers kind of remind me a little of like the grit and grind Grizzlies, or what do they call them? Something like that. Like, feels like they're just like picking up the Cavs 94 feet. It's just like
they're playing hard all game long.
It's got to be exhausting. And Cavs don't have, I think Evan Mobley's been out part of the series, and Darius Garland has been struggling with injuries, and Donovan Mitchell had like a 48-point game, but obviously he can't do it himself. So it's like,
Ty Jerome, he's been amazing during the regular season. He's been awful.
Dude.
Awful off the bench.
It's bad.
And a Pacer team, honestly, also their offense needs to be said too. They run fast. They push the brake. They get all these open three-pointers. Miles Turner's amazing from 3, from paint.
Yeah.
It's like it's a perfectly constructed team to just run and gun, play hard defense. And once they get going from 3, they shoot like 60%. It's hard to beat them.
Yeah. It wouldn't have surprised me if you would have told me this game would go 7 games or 6 games. But up 3-1 is like, it's kind of shocking. I think we both had Cavs. Maybe I picked Celtics. I can't remember. But
I had Cavs in the finals.
I think you did, yeah. And it's like, they looked good this year. It's kind of crazy.
I still think it's not over.
It probably is not.
Cavs, you got to say Donovan Mitchell's the best player in the series. He's shown that time and time again. He's had a couple 40-point games. So I'm not counting the Cavs out. But it's going to be tough for them to come back.
And if anybody's going to come back from 3-1, it's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers, obviously.
Right.
Historic.
Yeah, I mean, they're the only team that's done
it. That's what they do, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, who cares if LeBron's there or not,
that's right. That's right.
And then also, those Knicks are up 3-1.
Wow, yep.
That game just barely finished. What do you think about that?
Dude, I look even kind of rooting for the Knicks. I kind of just like...
Really?
With how things are going, I kind of just want chaos in the playoffs right now. Like, I don't want like these top teams to... I don't want these top teams to keep just dominating. Knicks have looked really good. I think I mentioned last week I thought they matched up really well with the Celtics, and I think they've shown that. Like OG and Mikal Bridges in game 1 and 2 had the game-winning stop at the end.
Yep, and he's been clutch on offense. Yeah. He had a fourth quarter where he scored like all their points in the
fourth. Exactly, and so if you're going to beat the Celtics, you got to have somebody that's a Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown stopper, and they seem to have them to an extent.
Yeah, and I mean, the game today... Jason Tatum had 42 points. He came to play.
Holy cow, yeah.
He played 40 minutes. That was still not enough.
It's insane.
To beat him. Even Jaylen Brown had 20, Derek White 23. But, dude, Mikal Bridges 23, OG 20, Karl Towns 23, Jalen Brunson 39 points.
Yeah.
Like, all that, those starters on the Knicks, they know how to play together. I think they have the most talented starting lineup in these playoffs.
Yeah.
And they're surprising people.
I'm starting to question if we'll ever see another back-to-back and championship in the NBA. It's just so hard in today's NBA to do it twice in a row.
Yeah,
it's gonna be tough.
Well, I guess same thing as we said for the Cavs. Do you think the Celtics have a chance, or is it over?
I think it's probably over. Especially the fact that you got to go back to MSG at least for Game 6. I think it'll probably be done in Game 6. Would be my guess.
Dude, it might be done in Game 5.
It might be done in Game 5.
I don't know if I would even say that. But yeah, I'd say same thing as the Cavs. I'm not going to count the Celtics out because I know that they can get hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's same thing. It's going to be tough for them to come back. Most likely, the Knicks are probably going to take that now.
If the Timberwolves win tonight, which obviously it's not a lock, they're pretty close right now. Which team do you think has the best shot of coming back 3-1? Warriors, Celtics?
I'd say probably the Warriors. Because I think if Steph comes back, and Timberwolves have shown that they can go on these bad offensive runs where they just miss shots for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Warriors could definitely come back, but what about you?
I think so too. I think so only if Draymond's two technicals away from a suspension. If he gets a technical tonight, that's going to be a game changer. So I would say Warriors unless Draymond...
with an asterisk on it.
Yeah. Those East ones, I think, are almost over probably.
But honestly, as a fan of the NBA, I'm not really... Right, we're Jazz fans. We're not really a fan of any of these teams.
No.
Maybe I might be a little bit of a Timberwolves fan because of Rudy Gobert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I love seeing upsets and just craziness in the playoffs, and I think that's exactly what we're getting this
year.
Oh,
dude, yeah.
I don't think I've remembered anything like this where, like, the Cavs and the Celtics just both lay an egg. That's crazy.
If it's Nuggets, Wolves, Pacers, and Knicks and the... conference championships, that's going to be must-see TV, I will say.
Yeah.
That's going to be insane. Those are fun teams to watch.
Well, I guess we could move on to some hockey.
Let's go.
I don't know if you saw, but...
Dude, we're a hockey town anyways. That's right.
Let's go. I guess when... So we're going to be called the Utah Mammoth if anybody has been living under a rock the past couple days.
Let's go.
But apparently... I don't know how you feel about this. We're going to be the Mammoth, not the Mammoths.
I did see people were upset about that part.
I don't know. I like it. I think it's more unifying.
Yeah. It happens all the time in sports too. They'll do like singular names even when it's kind of... So it's unique. I like it.
Yeah. And I think it sounds better off the tongue, Utah Mammoth instead of Utah Mammoths.
Yeah. Mammoth sounds kind of... Yeah.
Like you're saying it with a lisp. Tongue a little bit nicer. I think I like the logo too. It's not because I think some people were worried about Mammoth because it's kind of a weak mascot.
Yeah.
But that logo's tough, dude.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with that Mammoth.
Yeah. And we've talked about Mammoths a lot, but I'll say I really like the tusks up thing. That's sick.
Yeah, dude.
That is so sick. I think that's why we needed a name. We needed an identity. Like, we need to do tusks up or something.
Oh, yeah. I don't know
that's
if you
so cool.
Did you see Ryan Smith was on Pat McAfee's
show? Yeah, they did,
show.
Like, the
they were doing the little tusks up and all that. They were talking about how we need to build a giant mammoth outside the arena.
That's so hype, dude.
One thing I like that Ryan Smith talked about, kind of what you already said, is, like, the fans have been going crazy with the Utah Hockey Club name for a year.
Yeah.
Like, imagine how much more exciting and how much more loyalty we can have when we actually have an identity.
Absolutely.
Like the Mammoths. So,
dude, it's so sick.
Yeah. And I'm a little biased. I was on Team Blizzard, but after that got ruled out, I'm glad that we got
Team
Mammoth.
Yeah. I think it's so cool. I thought it was cool how they already have it up on the arena and like they didn't even have the jerseys on sale already. Somebody was telling me they're already selling merch. And it really is the same color. They had said that, but I was a little skeptical about the designs.
Sure.
But so if you don't have to throw away your old Utah hockey jersey.
I'm definitely planning on getting a jersey maybe once the prices drop a little bit.
Absolutely.
Maybe once the season starts and then we can really feel like we're part of the team. But at least with the Jazz losing the lottery, we got to be happy that the Mammoth won that lottery.
That's right.
Getting the fourth pick, jumping up from number 10.
Yeah. Another really interesting thing, this is kind of going back a little, but the Ryan Smith interview with Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee asked him if he believed that the lottery was rigged for bigger markets. And I love Ryan Smith was like, are we a small market? And he starts listing off all these talking about
best economy.
Yeah, Silicon Slopes and like, you know, he starts listing off all these reasons that
we're just not a concentrated urban area.
We're not LA or New York, but like, as far as economies go and like fan bases to support teams, like we're no small fry. We're not.
Yeah.
You know,
and we're only growing too.
Exactly. So, and we're hosting the Olympics. It's like, there's like so much to be excited about here in Utah. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I guess we'll be excited to watch both of those drafts. Mammoth picking number 4, Jazz picking number 5. And maybe next year we tank a little less hard.
That's right. Yeah. We'll tell you, even though we would love AJ DeBonta, but we'll just watch him here next year anyway. So
it's facts. See what happens. Facts.
And take our 1%.
Well, thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We feel your pain with getting the number 5 pick, but there's still good things to see around the corner. We'll get some good players coming in next year. Make sure to check out our past episodes. We've done a lot of breakdowns of a lot of the rookies that'll come in the draft and who you can expect there. Follow us on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, and take care.
Peace.